Great. So my background's really in the advocacy side of things. So a lot of my activities involve going to the legislature, lobbying legislators, working with media. And I'm going to talk about the policy aspects of farm to schools. And how do you move this forward? Okay. So I have nothing to disclose. I'm not part of the farm to schools industrial complex. What is farm to schools? And this is actually a more complicated question than it sounds at first, because a lot of people have different ideas about farm to schools or different definitions. But really, it refers to an integrative approach to food and schools, and often includes both aspect around food nutrition within the school food cafeteria, as well as supporting local farmers and educational side. Some of the barriers to implementing these programs are, there's a lot of different barriers, both on the agricultural side and on the school side, and funding is a critical aspect on the school side. When you look at federal funds for the school meals program, on average, schools have $1.13 per lunch to spend on food with federal funds. Now, most schools kick in some state funds, not a lot of state funds, but we're really talking about very limited amount of money to put out a lunch or breakfast. And at the same time, there's a lot of goals around improving nutrition, around putting on a meal that kids actually enjoy eating. And so it's you have to realize that food service directors are under a lot of constraints, and in addition, a lot of bureaucratic barriers as well. Now, on the agricultural side, both the diversity of agriculture and the size of agriculture within a state or within a region really creates the context for how much can be achieved with farm to schools. So when we're looking at a particular school, you can look at now the new term is the food shed. What's all the food in that region that's going into that school or that region for people to eat, and when foods are in season and how far they have to travel, all that affects what can be served within a school or within any institution. California is very lucky in that there are crops year-round of large diversity, but a lot of other states have much more limited options. My third barrier I wanted to point out is around how school kitchens are set up. And a lot of them are not really set up to use processed local foods very well. There's been a big shift in that. When we were looking at, the turn of the century, a lot of schools really made everything from scratch, made everything on site. But now a lot of cafeterias and kitchens you may not even have cutting boards and knives. And a lot of them are set up to take a box, open it up, put it in the oven, and serve it in the cafeteria. And so now part of farm to schools is reinventing the school kitchen, which is a big task. It's a big barrier. I think a lot of the exciting aspects of farm to school are happening on the local level. And you'll hear from a number of exciting and innovative projects. That excitement on the local level and that research on the local level spurs policy developments. And I think of policy as kind of setting the context for what's possible on the local level in terms of, determining how much funding is available, what's allowed and what's not allowed to do in a school. So a couple things I want to point out in terms of federal policies. There's, as mentioned before, in the 2008 Farm Bill, there was some language inserted around local preference that before the 2008 Farm Bill, it was uncertain of whether schools could really specify that they wanted to buy local products once they reached a certain threshold of size of an order. And that was clarified in the Farm Bill that said schools are allowed to source locally or specify in-state or within a certain number of miles for unprocessed foods. So that's fruits and vegetables, that's meats that have been recently butchered and eggs, but not anything that's very processed. So that allows more action on the local level, so that's a great thing. Another program is the Fruit and Vegetable Snack Program, which was started in 2004, and the USDA did a pilot program on that. And they were serving fresh fruits and vegetables as snacks, so not as part of the lunch or breakfast, but throughout the school day. And there's a great evaluation of that came out that showed it really increased fruit and vegetable consumption among kids. So that was expanded, and now they allocated just over $1 billion over 5 years to have that program occur in all states, but not all schools. And then finally, the Child Nutrition Program reauthorization bill is coming up next year, and this is really the reauthorization of the whole school lunch and school breakfast programs. And so there's a number of big aspects, and I hope some public health advocates will be involved in that because that's a very important bill. Now, on the state level, funding is critical. So on average, about 9% of revenues come from state and local sources. And especially now with food prices increasing and the federal funding isn't quite keeping up with the rising cost of food. So it's really critical that state and local funding also kick in so that schools can maintain and hopefully even better increase their quality. States also often will kick in money to expand the fruit and vegetable snack program above where it is. And that's what Washington State did in their last legislative session, that they allocated some money specifically for that. And then a number of schools, or a number of states will provide grants around school gardens or farm field trips or educational curriculum. They can also provide local preference or encourage local preference outside of funding issues. A couple of states have required a percentage of school meal funds be spent on state or local foods. So that's just setting a requirement. Or else they've created integrated plans of how do we achieve more local production. Some states have invested in really building up an infrastructure to support and promote farm-to-schools, either with a farm-to-school coordinator in the Department of Ag or a farm-to-school coordinator in the Department of Education on the state level, and also the Department of Health or Department of Human Services often has a role as well. And this varies a little bit because most states implement their school meals program through the Department of Education, although some states implement it through the Department of Agriculture, and so that's depending on which agency actually implements the school meals program determines where a lot of the activities happen. Now, in terms of the advocacy side, farm to schools is a fantastic issue to work on because so many people have an interest in promoting it. And here's some of the groups, agricultural, community, economic development, education, health, environment, hunger relief, all of these issue areas, they get excited about farm to schools. But it's also challenging in terms of coordination because different partners provide the lead in advocacy in different states. And so there's a lot of different models to work with of how we coordinate all these groups that really I haven't seen work together on many issues. So I'll talk a little bit about Oregon. I'm from Portland, Oregon, and worked on the advocacy at the state level there. And I think we've, in the last few years, we've really been poised to create some, have some good steps forward in policy on farm-to-schools. Because, for one thing, we have no state funding whatsoever for school meals. We're only a couple of there's only a couple of states that have no state funding, and so we're really just relying solely on the federal funds, and there's some local funds that kick in. But so Oregon's kind of at a disadvantage in the funding for our school meals program. But at the same time, Oregon has really a lot of excitement, a lot of community interest in farm-to-schools and in local agriculture, and so there's been a great community there. We also have a fairly diverse agricultural economy. We're one of the most diverse states in terms of the products that are produced, and so there's a lot to offer the schools. So we proposed legislation. We proposed different legislation in 2007, 2008, and 2009. In 2007, we managed to create a farm-to-school coordinator position in the Department of Agriculture to work on the agricultural side. In 2008, we got a position in the Department of Education to work on the education side. And they're really meant to work together as a team. And I think Oregon's the only state now that has those coordinator positions in two different agencies. Now, in 2009, we're proposing to really expanding the funding. So we've asked the governor for 15 cents per school lunch, 7 cents per school breakfast, to spend on Oregon products, as well as 150 grants for school gardens. We have a very diverse coalition. Here's some of our coalition members. It's been great working with them. And in terms of, you know, I've described the challenges of working with diverse coalitions like that, in that, you know, there's really policy differences, and we've had some real intense conversations over several months around getting the policy content right. We've, been involved in coordinating more than 40 organizations. In our larger network, we actually have 85 different organizations all involved in farm-to-schools at some aspect or other. Different types of organizations that have been very important for our efforts include, there's resource organizations, foundations, people organizations that provide the community organizing aspect to really get things done in the legislature, and then issue organizations, so the policy expertise. It's important not to have a tug of war between all these different groups at all these different agencies. Finally, talking about funding source, this has been a little tricky for us of where the funding for farm to schools comes from, because, often education funding is seen as money for the classroom, and unfortunately, farm to schools kind of fits into this category where it's not quite. Classroom curriculum is not quite, it can be, school meals, but it's often not quite that either. And in Oregon, we have no money for school meals, so it's in a category in itself. So we've, tried to put requests in kind of general fund, school fund, and now we're really promoting as economic development that it's really about kind of in the category of promoting local agriculture. And there's some studies that, in Oregon, every dollar that gets invested locally amounts to $2.50 circulated through the state economy. Obesity epidemic has been really, great selling point in Oregon, and supporting local farmers and reducing food miles and gasoline use. So it's part of a global warming package. Okay, thank you.